大家去接接表做那么久，做了平时上学都不让学，上学就当做学着呢。讲究不多，大家就上学。大家去接接表做那么久，做了平时上学都不让学。感觉就像这多年，到我们这帮别村的，没去年的到我过年的那家子了。从年年就送到这边了，这些事情感觉年年跟，将来不忙的那个说了，说完就让他月经给了。
那马尔巴达，那罗巴迪基，那苏西格拉马丁苏，那个接，当时的这些个，那你，那么大的这些个，第一个拉布加尔安祖卡林古鲁拉，那俺们这些呢，那每个拉马也提拔自己都这些拉美各种技术学的人，学过的，但拉美各种技术学的呀，那拉美各主要的啦，那各主要。 那那样子给拉美搞了几十公里，那样子的呀，那这个解决住不过来，那现在偏不住不过来，送过来的，给我搞呀。拉美给搞了送过来，现在，俺就拉美搞住些的，拉美马拉就家的，俺就住不过来。拉美拉不就搞了几十公里，那个解决住不过来，你个些要马来斯，那解决住不过来，那现在偏不住不过来，那你讲说什么过来送过来？现在的俺就你这样子学个那样子的，那的呢？ 这个关键是讲不着钱，当马些真真真说，那今天给一万钱把你些下当，连讲究什么个么样当，你你没空了，你去钱也偏别上吧，给你给上那那个这块土土块钱，你讲完呢，今天结完呢，再来个干土活了，我就当那样子，来第一趟呢，你刚刚去个结活的时候，开心，对着当铺的些些啥些。
Good evening, everyone. So last week we finished looking at the chapter on how to rely on the spiritual friend. And we finished by looking at two famous biographies, namely those of Mapa and Naropa, and how they Malaripa and Naropa, and how they relied on their teachers. And so what meaning should we take away from these biographies that we heard last week? And that is that in order to attain realizations on the path, to develop minds of Dharma within us, then it is imperative that we rely on our teachers with heartfelt faith. And the meaning of this is that we should fulfill whatever instructions or teachings we receive from our teachers. And then to put that in its essence, when it's in its briefest form, then we need to make concerted effort in the accumulation of virtue, in the purification of negativities, and strive to benefit others, develop minds such as bodhicitta and the like. And that is the meaning of fulfilling the advice of our teachers. And the way that we should do this is that each morning when we get up and we set our motivation for the day, we do this in the way we hear every week about how we should first meditate on refuge, then contemplate on the how all beings have been our mothers, think about the kindness, generate the wish to repay the kindness, etc., and continue the meditation until we give rise to the mind of bodhicitta. And thereafter, we should reflect briefly on emptiness if we can. And this we should do every day. And once we've completed that meditation, we should end with a firm commitment that today, in every activity, whether physical or verbal or my mental activities, I will ensure that my mind does not go in a negative way, does not criticize others or act in a harmful way towards others. And every opportunity that I get where I can be of benefit to others, I will take that opportunity and be of benefit to others as much as I can. So by meditating this way and acting then in this way, this is how we fulfill the advice of our teachers, and this is how we should rely on our teachers. So that's what we looked at last week. Now we come to the second major part of the book. So just after that, so we see the first part where we'll start tonight is taking refuge. So this is the first of the we have your extraordinary or maybe uncommon. So if the common or the shared preliminaries, and now we come to the uncommon or the unique preliminaries. And the first is where we'll start tonight, that of refuge. And thereafter, in some weeks, we'll start on bodhicitta, and then it will progress as we see here. After we've looked at bodhicitta in quite some detail, we'll come to the presentation on how to purify negativities through the practice of vajrasattva and the accumulation of virtue. So these third and fourth major outlines on the purification and accumulation. This then comes because if we want to progress along the path, we need to purify the obscurations that we have, and we need to accumulate virtue. So hence those third and fourth outlines. And thereafter we come to how to destroy the obstacles or the demons at a single stroke. And lastly, relying on Guru Yoga, the ultimate way to arouse the wisdom of realization. Now we come to page 177, we come to refuge. So the refuge is divided into, the refuge chapter is divided into three major outlines. The first we have here is approaches, or it could be the divisions to refuge. And then the second is the manner in which, or the way to practice refuge. And the last is the benefits and the commitments of refuge. A refuge then is the basis for our Dharma practice. So when we hear about refuge, and refuge is a mind, and each mind has to have an object. So what are the objects of refuge? Well, these are the three jewels: the Buddha jewel, the Dharma jewel, and the Sangha jewel.
Mm-hmm.
jab sumne sanje kunjo se jab tembo bo da sanje se de ane nyomo bo cha da pang cha pang go cha da pang cha che da kien go cha da kien cha yu yen den cha da top go cha da top cha yu gi cha wa de la pang ja cha sang pang yen den cha da nie be ge da la ne sanje se go wa de.
In general, if we get what the three jewels are, we can say we know what the Buddha is, the Dhamma is, the Sangha is. But if we look at it in a little more detail, then what is the Buddha? So the Buddha is a being that has abandoned all obscurations completely and has accomplished all good qualities in their entirety. And furthermore, the Buddha is someone who has, of course, not realized everything that is to be known and has abandoned everything that all the obstacles that are to be abandoned. And with this wisdom, the Buddha then teaches us refuge. So not only is the Buddha an object of refuge, but the teacher of refuge. And that is because the Buddha has the most the fullest or most complete experience of the path, and therefore is able to teach it in its entirety. So in general, so the Dhamma we know then is the teachings of the Buddha. So the Buddha, the teacher of refuge, when the Buddha teaches the Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha is the Dhamma. But the actual Dhamma jewel itself are the realizations in the minds of Arya beings. So the realizations, in particular, the paths in the minds of an Arya being, as well as the cessations in the mind of an Arya being. These are the actual Dharma jewel. So in other words, the realizations, the parts and the cessations that are in the mind of a being on the parts of seeing, meditation, and normal training, those are the actual Dharma jewels. The Sangha jewel, so you could say in general the Sangha jewel are our helpers on the path, but in particular what this refers to, the Sangha jewel or our helpers on the path, are those who have realized the true cessations and the Arya paths in their continuum. So in other words, those beings who are Arya beings, those who have attained the paths of seeing, meditation, no more learning, then these are the Sangha jewel. So those who have the Dharma jewel in their continuum, they are the Sangha jewel. Then he came on the Tonglam Dam Gonglam Topkin, Konso Akadi, Gendun Konsokre, Yini Pakpa Sena Pakpa Yang Sangere, Yini Kong Sangi Konsok, Gendun Konsok Mare.
Sanji, Gendun Konsok, I'm not sure. Mare Lagoyama, they can tell them to public other radio.
It is.
That 통람 넘검람 니디 최고 저 개무에 소라 다가선 니 개는 먼저 간증님도 여바이네 먼저 로정 마체 바이네 먼저 동할 타야 말와 대원녀아요 말와 사제 간증님도 여바이네 아니 나도 로정 마체나 아니 사제 간증님도 여라 개는 거 간증님도 여라 먼저 동할 용고래 아니 강아 타야 말와 나 다 예수기 사제의 말 로브제캡 Gendun di kuncho nga zu roba che, ta nga zu ge nyamlen che che, ta nga zu ge tonglam gyu le kye yung du, dene nga zu nga zu le kye de tar, dene dewa ne dewa yung a de, nga zu le gozu zhu gore, desa gyab ngue la gore, gyab ngue ne dire se de, nga zu tonglam gyu le kye na nga zu le dewa ngue ne kye yung gore, ane dunga kanga de kye ngue ne ma se ya gozu yung gore, desa gyab ngue la gore, kuncho, che kuncho de la.
And amongst these three jewels, the actual refuge jewel is said to be the Dharma jewel. So of the three, the one that is, if you point to one and say that is the actual refuge jewel, this then is the Dharma jewel. And the reason is, it's because amongst the three, it's the attainment of the Dharma jewel that is our actual protection, our protection from suffering and what leads us to the a state of lasting happiness. For example, if we've said that the Sangha jewel, then they are our helpers on the path. But if we're walking next to an Arya being, they cannot protect us from suffering. Because the meaning of this word refuge is it's sometimes called a safe harbor or a place of protection. So the actual protection from suffering is the attainment of realizations, in particular the direct realization of emptiness. And so these are then the true paths and the true cessations that are the Dharma jewel. So it's the Dharma jewel that is what really protects us, in particular the Dharma jewel that arises in our own continuum, not in someone else's continuum, but our own realization of the Dharma, in particular the direct realization of emptiness, this Dharma jewel, that is the actual refuge.
Karelana, that Duma Tata Ganesina, Dene, Jubi, Nubati, Conjo Sumbo de la Yores, that Conjo Sumti, Jokure, Sampigita, Dene, Nuba, Yore, Jesanganzu, Conjo Sum, Ichich, and Conjo Sum, Mazu Dumati, Conjo Sum, Jokure, Segre, Sampigi, the Ichi Tempuchorwa, and Diti Jamro Sigor, that Dele Jamro, Mazu Ichiti, Tempat, Tempo de la Jamro Sigor.
Now we've heard about the objects of refuge, so these three jewels. We now know what the objects of our refuge are. So understanding what they are, then we have this understanding that these three jewels, if we give, by relying on them, we can be protected from suffering. In particular, by giving rise to the actual Dharma jewel, we will attain freedom from suffering. So understanding that, then we should turn to the three jewels as our objects of refuge. And this is done with a mind of faith. A mind of faith that through relying on the three jewels, we will be able to be protected from suffering. In particular, we'll give rise to the jewels within us, and this will protect us from suffering. So this here, at the starting point, is turning towards the three jewels with a mind of faith, that the three jewels can protect us from suffering, that can lead us to the elimination of all suffering. So therefore we start out by looking at faith. The kind of faith that we're referring to is a faith that is stable, that's lasting, not lasting, sorry, that is stable, that's, it doesn't waver, and in particular is free of doubt. So this is a faith born of conviction that the three jewels can lead us to the lasting protection from suffering. So this is essential, that with a mind of faith, we go to refuge, to the three jewels, believing that they can free us. Through relying on them, we can eliminate all suffering. And that this mind of faith that we have is a stable faith, a faith that is free of doubt.
세상에 남백이 잡들이야 군조 숨스네 숨케링 거래 다 숨네 마음아 시세디 케링 거 작용 말해 단 가시게미 다 졸로 가시는 군조 지가지 케링겐 단 가시니 가제 숨네 마음아 마음 케링에 되는 용거로 와 당 저기 남비 군조 숨케링 거래 다 숨케 작고에 김자 거래 람나 이마 아니 찍 산지 군조지 고고래 가서는가 찍나도 쉬쉬알아 코로나 차상 하고 와제 코로나 차상 켄제 냠뇨다네 마 랍지야지 고 시엔지 고르와 제가 산지리 메나 아니 소소 차상 신기 메나 아니 차상 된도에 시트여 말 소소마 신의 된여 말와 제가 산지 군조 샤고디 김젠디레 고 소소기 냠뇨다네 차상 켄제네 강시고바 차상 켄베도네 중고와인사 되네기 때문에 산지 군조 고고래야지 다 사이에 수셔바 냠는 제나 예여 가지고 고르마도 게메나 네 나도 두말에 타야 토야 말에 진짜 람 파블라 파글람다 고딩글에 예여 가지고 진짜 디네자 최고인 줄 아세요 거예 나 되는게 람 냠는 제와 되라 땅 건축에 사이에 숨을 했던 집배실로 하는 가서 하고 말하다 신 말와 세상 안들로 로봇 제제 랍건 고원속이 냠는 제제 냠뇨토네 나서로 어두 제거래 두셔 랍된 제거 로봇 고고래 아니 개념 거 좋아서야 돼. 광주게 산지 송아대 냠면제 광주기라 통남나 파람지기기. 아니 광주기 문안주의로 로봇제. 되네요 숨. 되네요 숨이 통해 아니 아주 동아래 조고 거래. 이제 광주 숨이하고 어디 인제니래.
Across various religions, then some religions will only have one object of refuge. Others will have two, and some will have maybe many. But in Buddhism, there are only three objects of refuge. And so why are there just these three? So let's again briefly look at each one. First of all, there needs to be the Buddha jewel. And this is because one needs a founder teacher who knows all objects of knowledge and has experienced the path in its entirety. And through having experienced the path in its entirety, then the Buddha is able to teach the path teach the path in its entirety. If there was no founder Buddha, then the teacher wouldn't be able to teach the entire path based on their own experience. So therefore, one needs the founder Buddha jewel. And secondly, one needs the Dharma jewel. And why? Because just having a teacher is not enough. One needs to actually practice the teachings, and then and practice these teachings and give rise to them in one's own continuum. In other words, one needs to practice what is taught and give rise to realizations in one's own continuum, and eventually in this way give rise to the actual Dharma jewel within one's own continuum. In other words, again a direct realization of emptiness. So therefore, one requires the Dharma jewel, because it's only the arisal of the Dharma jewel in one's own continuum, or rather the generation of the Dharma jewel in one's own continuum, that one can be protected from suffering, one can be liberated from the state of suffering. So therefore, one requires the Dharma jewel, the actual realizations on the path. So that's the second jewel. Then the third is us as practitioners, of course, we don't know everything. We therefore need companions on the path, those who have attained true paths, those who have attained direct realizations of emptiness. We need them to teach us, to train us, and to accompany us on the path in our own inner development, our own inner development of the Dharma jewel. So this is why it's said that there are three jewels.
Mm-hmm. 아니 당한도 이게 전부 지기래 좀 개유세 되고 숨 뭐 소야다 백점도 세지 가능시 러비에메 안 개유세 가능시 러비에메 대한테 뒤로 개유세네 산유고주 취업을 기능 거죠 세 개유 숨디제 다 될라 접수되게 점도 세지 가능시 러구를 하면 점도 세야지 다 누가 타다를 끼비 니바디 텔레콘 숨바디 요래 sabi yi chibi, tan yi deba di, dele kyamro la kore, dele kyamro sen di reka.
So it's important that we are clear on two things here. On first of all, what our refuge is, and secondly, what the objects of refuge are. So we've heard now a bit about the objects of refuge, and then, so what is refuge? So refuge is this unshakable conviction that through relying on the three jewels, that we can be freed from suffering, that we can free ourselves from suffering through relying on the three jewels. So this is what it means to go for refuge. So going for refuge again is done with a mind of stable faith that through relying on the three jewels we can free ourselves from suffering. So now we hear the importance of faith. So it's with this mind of faith, a faith that is free of doubts and that is stable, that we go for refuge, knowing that it's through relying on the three jewels, the unmistaken three jewels, that we will be able to free ourselves from suffering. So therefore, this mind of faith is particularly important, and our text presents three types of faith. So we start with vivid faith, eager faith, and confident faith. And the first one here, vivid faith. So this would arise from thinking about the tremendous compassion of the Buddhas, or it could arise from seeing holy objects, or from meeting holy teachers, and getting a feeling for their qualities. And from such encounters, faith arises within us, and that faith is called vivid faith. And you know, sometimes it's you may have come across it as clear faith, or there are different translations, so clear faith or vivid faith. The second type, eager faith. So this is at the top of page 172. So this can be translated in many ways. So it can be, it's often called longing faith or aspiring faith. So this is a faith that arises in dependence on hearing teachings, for example, on how one can be freed from suffering. So then this faith is the arisal of the wish to be free from suffering, or the arisal of an eagerness or an aspiration to attain liberation. So this type of faith, this eager faith, arises in dependence on about hearing, for example, the qualities of liberation or the benefits of liberation, and giving rise, and then that faith arises in dependence on that. So then the third type, that of confident faith or faith of conviction, then this arises due to knowing the qualities of the three jewels.
Yeah, 지지체들이
Another way we can look at or divide faith is just into two. So the one type of faith is the faith that arises independent on others. So here it would be hearing from others about the qualities of someone. So this could be, for example, parents to their child or one student to another student, talking about the qualities of someone else. And independence on this probably trusted person telling us about the qualities of a third person, then faith arises in us. So that's one type of faith. A second type of faith is the faith that arises independent on one's own knowledge and one's own experience. And amongst these two types of faith, the second type of faith, the faith that arises independent on one's own knowledge, one's own experience, this is much more powerful and much more stable. So again, this division of faith into two. So the one can arise just independence on from what one's parents have told one, especially as a child. And so this can be a powerful type of faith, but it's not stable in the way that the faith that arises independent on one's knowledge and experience. So, for example, if one's parents tells us about the three jewels and one should have faith in them, then as a child one will grow up having faith in the three jewels. But if one then engages into study and contemplation and comes to know the actual qualities of the three jewels, then this faith that arises independent on that knowledge and contemplation, that is much more powerful and much more stable. And this type of faith is called a faith of knowledge.
Hey, that when you sum ya, you deva chaya thila. Ano so so le, mene, kibu chuna, you kunju sum na deva chigores. Dubu ro chuna, you kunju sum na deva chigores.
Kunju dini pa?
Dubu. Kale. Lega dubu se kale se kunga duma. Kale mangbo chena ya, you kunju sum na deva chigores. Chana kajele. Ta kibu chuna re, dubu chuna re, so so shiva ina ta deva ina ta kunju sum ya. Ta duma kibu nipa ta kunju sum ya, se beki kunju sum na deva chigores.
Then indeed, Can I do something there?
Okay,
because then furthermore, the kind of faith that we should be aspiring for is a faith that is stable in all situations. Because we may often find that in times of great trouble, such as experiencing tremendous illness and the like, then our mind turns to the three jewels for protection from our suffering. So we go for refuge to the three jewels to protect us from our suffering. But at other times, when life is going well, then our mind doesn't turn to the three jewels and we happily enjoying our lives. So that's not what we're aiming for. Rather, it's a stable mind of faith that is always present, no matter what we are experiencing in our lives. It's important to have this kind of stable faith, stable faith where one's faith remains present, whether life is going well or if we're going through a difficult period. And the reason it's important to have faith of this type rather than a faith where when we have problems then we only turn for refuge, turn for protection, is because it's on the basis of having a stable faith in the ability of the three jewels to give rise to a lasting protection within us, in other words, to be able to realize the path that turns our mind towards the Dharma and turns and makes us develops our interest in coming to know the Dharma, to come and study the Buddha Dharma, and then to make the effort to contemplate on the Buddha Dharma and eventually give rise to the Dharma jewel within us. So this is why having this stable faith is important, because it's an independence on this that will give rise to a mind that is striving to accomplish the various Dharma goals. And having this mind of wanting to accomplish the Dharma goals will mean that we'll want to receive teachings, we'll want to study, and we want to reflect on these teachings. So this is why this type of faith that is stable is so very important. So now we're in the middle of page 172, and there's a quote here from Padmasambhava, the precious lord of Odinyawa. The faith of total trust allows blessings to enter you. When the mind is free of doubt, whatever you have wished can be achieved. So in brief, so here this is again encouraging one to develop a faith that is free from doubt, a faith that is stable. And if one has such a faith that is free of doubt and stable, then whatever practices one engages in, these will give rise to the desired result.
This
And then it says just below that it compares faith to being like a seed. So this comparison is made because if one doesn't plant any seeds, nothing's going to grow. And furthermore, if one plants seeds, but they are not well cared for, again, nothing is going to grow. So here faith is likened to seeds as well as caring for seeds that have already been planted. And this is because if one has faith, then one will have interest in the Buddha Dharma, one's mind will turn towards the Buddha Dharma, and thereby one will seek out teachings and make efforts to accomplish the teachings, to put them into practice. So this comes about independent on having a stable faith. Then there's a quotation here from the sutra. In those who lack faith, nothing positive will grow, just as from a burnt seed, no green shoot will ever sprout. So this is referring to faith in the Dharma. If one doesn't have faith in the Dharma, then one won't have any interest in the Dharma. One won't want to receive teachings or contemplate on the teachings and the like. And therefore, one will not give rise to the virtue, the vast stores of virtue that one could have accomplished if one had that interest. And that is the meaning of the verse here. Then there's another quotation here. The precious wheel of faith rolls day and night along the road of virtue. So here, faith is likened to a wheel. So if a car doesn't have wheels, it's not going to get anywhere. However, if we have this wheel of faith, we will progress along the path of virtue and we will attain our goal. And as we progress along this path of virtue, we'll be, of course, accumulating more and more virtue. And the only reason we would be progressing along this path is because of our interest arising from our faith. And the further we progress along this path of virtue, the more virtue we accumulate, and that means the less problems we have, the more happiness we have, and the greater effect our endeavors to be of benefit to others.
And that deva de yoba ina deva de shuk gyabje ani yenden mangbu de jan le dunya ke dunya ke yode de ne dunya deva ga de shuk che ina dunya shuk che li gore dunya shuk che yuan de lo jo ma ji gore lo jo ma ji gen de yenden ma ji gore che da deva deva se de ani tia na che yes
Then faith is likened to treasure. So we can think of if someone has a lot of gold and is wealthy, or if machinery is powered by having plenty of fuel, then far more powerful results will come. So it's the same here with faith. The stronger, the more powerful and stable one's faith, then the greater one's interest. And then the next step is, having great interest, one will make more effort, and will make more effort in one's studies and one's contemplation and the like, and therefore one will achieve greater qualities. So this whole progression starts with having powerful and stable faith, because from this, our interest grows, and then we make more effort in our studies and meditation, and then we attain greater results.
अने थर्बी लम नो जोगे कांबा नाचेरे तार थर्बा से ऐडिंग अंदो के थर्बी के थर्बा थोए के लम गोमिया के लम दिखे अने गांजु नमजिन जोसा लम का नाचेजे ना लम का बात जोए लग कांबा स्कोर कांबो में ना जोए मेरे वा जैसा दी नाचिन दां अंदो थर्बी लम न्यामलन जे वाला देवा कुगर मदे देवा में ना अने देवा ये ना न्यामने जेजे अने मतलब तोपो की लेके थोड़ी है संगो में ना जो तो ये मेवा ना जिन देवा में ना लम न्यामने जी की मारे न्यामने बाजे ना तोपो की लेके मारे दीजिए हम मारे सिरे
Then faith is likened to having legs with which to travel along the path to liberation. So of course, without legs, it's a little hard to travel anywhere. And so again, what is the point that is being emphasized with this analogy is that. One requires a powerful and stable faith so as to have the interest, and with this interest one will make the effort or endeavor to accumulate knowledge through attending teachings and studying, and then putting that into practice through our accumulation of virtue and our meditation and the like. So this is all reliant on faith.
Faith
is also likened to one's arms. Because if one doesn't have arms, one could be surrounded by gold and jewels and the like, but one wouldn't be able to gather them up. So one requires, through having the arms of faith, one has the interest to make the effort to receive teachings, to study, to gather knowledge, and put that knowledge into practice through meditation and activities to benefit others.
Mm-hmm. Deva, Dela, Dela, Norda, Dela, Gambi, Cho, Lavashin, to Gidus, our Yins, the city, the Najiba, the Dela Tower, Esata, the name Gambata Tower, Esata, the name Lavata Tower, Esat, the city, Shiba, the Najiba, the city.
And there's a verse at the top of page 173, which just says what has been explained.
Mm. ね、そうすれば、では、メバイナ、あの、チケ、ペナ、コンジョスムリア、ニューバダン、トゥジェダン、ジンラ、ガネシュエベイネ、あの、そうすれば、ギュレオアラ、ね、そうすれば、デバダン、デリアン、ムグ、そうすれば、デバカチェダン、ガジェシュチェナ、デラハリゴレ、そうすれば、デバカチェシュチェナ、そうすれば、ドニエシュチェリガ、ドジェシュチェワダ、デラジャンマディネ、ニュンデネキングレス。
So we've heard about this progression then, from faith comes interest, and from interest one endeavors to accomplish knowledge and give rise to that knowledge in one's own mind, the meditation and the like. So what's important then to add here is that without faith, the Buddhas can't bless one or give one qualities and the like, and just install them in one, install them in one's mind. One has to do the work oneself, and to do the work oneself, one needs to have the interest to accomplish the Dharma, and to have the interest, one has to have faith, because it's through the faith the interest comes. Through the interest, one makes wants to make the required effort to accomplish knowledge and put this into practice. And in that way, it can be said that one receives the blessings of the Buddha, in that the qualities of practicing the Dharma arise. So this entire progression starts with faith and ends with the receiving of the blessings of the Buddha, or to put it another way, ends with the development of qualities within one's mind. The stronger one's faith, the more the blessings more of blessings of the Buddha can enter into one's continuum. And if one's faith is of middling strength, then one will only receive a middling quantity of qualities arising in one's mind. And likewise, if one's faith is weak, then the qualities that will arise in one's mind will also be weak. Or another way to put it, the blessings that can enter into one's continuum will be weak. And if one has no faith, then no qualities will arise.
So therefore,
if one has faith, then wherever one is, whatever one's doing, the Buddha will be present. The Buddha will be able to bless one. If one doesn't have faith, then this will not be able to happen.
If one doesn't
have faith, then even if one was with the Buddha in person, then one would receive no benefit from this. So, for example, if you think of maybe the modern experience, if someone is in the presence of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, but doesn't know who His Holiness is, or has no understanding of the qualities that are within his continuum, then they will just be with someone friendly and chatting happily to His Holiness, but they won't receive blessings from His Holiness as they would have if they had faith in Him, and the faith that has arisen independent on knowing the qualities that He has. Another way to put this would be if someone who doesn't know anything about science and isn't very interested in science but happen to be traveling somewhere with a renowned scientist. Because this person has no interest in science, they're not going to utilize the opportunity of being with someone who's very knowledgeable and skilled in the field of science. And therefore, they won't get any benefits from the tremendous source of knowledge next to them. And similarly with one's parents, if one doesn't have an open and receptive attitude to one's parents, then the impact they can have on you is also very different. Similarly, if, for example, from the Buddha image, if one has particularly powerful vivid faith or clear faith, then on the basis of the power of this faith that one has, even in a Buddha's image, one can receive the blessings of the Buddha through the Buddha image. And some people who have a very powerful faith, they will be able to receive advice or teachings from the Buddha, image. And this will be because of the power of the faith. Then the blessings of the Buddha can come through the image, and they can receive teachings from a statue. Similar to this, there's a very famous story from old Tibet, which is recounted here at the bottom of page 173. So a mother who had strong faith in the Dharma, her son used to regularly go to Tibet to go from Tibet to India to engage in business. So she said to her son, well, you're going to the land of the birth of the teacher, the Buddha Bhagavan. Please bring me back from India an object from the Buddha that I can venerate, that I can prostrate to.
The
son had been requested several times by his mum, but he kept forgetting. So on his third trip to India, then his mother said to him very strongly, if you again return from India forgetting to bring this gift that I've requested repeatedly, I will kill myself in front of you. The son, returning from India, had once again forgotten about his mum's request, But as he approached the family home, he remembered, and he thought to himself, what am I going to do? I can't let her down again, because she just may carry out her threat. So then he saw next to the side of the road a dog's skull. So he broke one of the canine teeth from the dog's skull, cleaned it and wrapped it up in some silk, and then took that home.
The mother
on receiving what she was told was the Buddha's, an actual tooth from the Buddha. She was overjoyed, and then she put it on her shrine and repeatedly made offerings to it and prostrations to it.
Through making these offerings
and prostrations to what she believed was a relic of the Buddha, and doing it with a mind of powerful faith, then actually this what in reality is a dog's tooth, from this relics actually appeared. So the way that this came about is that due to the power of her faith, the Buddha's blessings could come through the dog's tooth, and relics could appear. So the key point in the story is that despite this actually being a dog's tooth, because of the powerful and stable faith of this mother, the blessings of the Buddha could enter the dog's tooth and produce things as precious as relics. So now there's a second story here in the middle, page 174. And this is about someone who's simple-minded. So, someone called Jorobin, and he traveled to Lhasa, where they have this a famous statue called Jorobin Rinpoche. And so he saw this statue, and before it were butter lamps and tomas and the like. But he was quite ignorant or simple-minded, and then he saw this and interpreted that this was the food that was placed out for the statue, and the butter lamps had been lit so that the butter would stay soft and melted, and then that the statue could actually eat and enjoy the butter by dipping the torma offerings into the melted butter and then enjoying it. So he thought this was the purpose of the butter lamps and the tormas in front of the statue. And seeing this, he thought, wow, this is it's a wonderful being who has this. So I should then also eat some of these offerings. So then he proceeded to eat some of the offerings. And then just before embarking on circumambulation around the statue, he thought, oh, he doesn't really want to carry his boots, so he'll just leave them there for safekeeping in front of the statue.
Then
Then, while he was doing his circumambulation, the temple keeper came by and saw that the offerings, some of the offerings had been eaten, and that these boots had been left in front of the statue. And he thought, this is really not acceptable. And he was going to take the boots away. But then the statue told him, no, I've been entrusted to look after these. You leave them here.
So then
returned from his circumambulation, and he was very pleased to see his boots still there, and then he thanked the statue, saying, oh, you're really very kind, thank you for looking out for me, I appreciate it so much. Please, I live in whatever region it is that he lives in. Please, you come and visit me one time. You'll be very welcome there.
Then now, by Chinche, and the Korong Yemen Delia, oh, that the Lassan Zungalia, Joe's in Michio, that what not the Leon Hachevin, Giddy Yungi Mahmo, and Chorongi that the Korean Sita, Giddy Yungi Midotago Chesh asked that.
When he got home, he said to his wife, oh, I met someone quite wonderful in Lhasa called Joe. And maybe he'll come by sometime. I'm not sure when, but he's been invited, so please you keep a lookout for him and let me know when you see him come by. So sometime later, the wife came running inside and said, I think the person you invited from last is here. I've seen him in the river. So Joel then went outside and he saw the person that he had invited, but had appeared to have fallen into the river. So he rushed into the river and leaned forward to pick up the Joel, to pick up the reflection. But he could actually grasp or hold the reflection in that it had form and could lift it out of the river. And so then the two of them started walking and towards Joel Ben's house and chatting. But then as they approached the house, Joel said to Ben, I'm not going any further. This is as far as I'm going. And then he melted into a rock that was there beside the road. So in Tibet now there is this rock which has a self-arisen image of the Joe Rinpoche, of the Joe statue, and that is called Dole. And there is the river, and this is the sacred river now, which is called the Joe River. So what do you think? Do you think this story is true or? So if we hear something like this, we'll probably think it's a little strange, and it's more likely we'll have doubt rather than faith.
So kongla lhagwa du deba shukche da sunam shukche gi gol ba dini gi inza da sangil ya ane nga zu deba yena sangil ya jamje di dewa yo thogwa yo marwa inza jamje yo ba za digi da so su gi deba yo ba za digi chine koro jubi gi nambar koro
to ne di di tamari jam koro la
sangil ya jamje yo ba nyiri yo marwa mi yaga chi ne yaga chi kyo ane kyo yo marwa mi su su na jamje chiba chi ba jada dan ngaw so ge deba shukka de chaba ne di to gien peni ge jeo tu gore deba shukche me na di me ban ta ta koron le deba shukche mo shu je ban ta ne san ji ge tubi ge na ba twen ji tubi twen chen de ne ge koron le chu na ma ta me yo ba da din chu ro ba da
The meaning here is that through having a strong and stable faith, then one can have such interactions as is described here. And this would be done that through the power of one's faith, the Buddha's blessings can enter into one, as well as emanations of the Buddha can appear. And so this happens solely due to the power of one's faith, in that the Buddha has equanimity, the Buddha has equal loving kindness for all beings. I think it says here there's no near, no far for the Buddha. And this is because there's the Buddha has equal love and compassion for all beings. So if one has strong and stable faith, that one will give rise to a strong wish a strong aspiration to engage in the practice. So in other words, due to having faith, then one will want to receive the teachings and endeavor to study a subject as difficult as emptiness, and endeavor to put into practice or to meditate on a topic as difficult as emptiness. All this comes from having this mind of faith, because it's independence on this mind of faith that one will have the interest and thereby put in the effort that is required to give rise to a realization of emptiness.
Jandaki, Dumbar, she didn't get Kijina, Chir, Kanisovena, and Deva Malova, and Deva Timbu, as an achievement of a Deva. In this Sanji, Deva, the Kinamayo, that's all.
So, this faith that one should be striving to arise is a faith that is irreversible. A faith that is not just that is unchanging and irreversible, and this faith then would be in the three jewels. And independence on such irreversible faith, one will give rise to all the realizations.
Yungu,
And we've heard now these two stories, the one about the mother who had the strong faith in the dog's tooth, and due to the power of her faith, the Buddha's blessings could enter that and relics could appear. And then we heard the second story about Choroben, and he could talk to a statue, and he not only saw a reflection in a river, but that reflection took form and he could pick it up and walk and talk with it. So that this could happen was independence on their faith, and independence on the powerful and stable faith that they had, this irreversible faith, then the blessings of the Buddha were able to enter into them and have a powerful effect. So that is the meaning of the stories that we've had tonight.
In brief, what we've heard then tonight is that the stronger one's faith, the greater power one's virtuous practices will have. So everyone here has some faith in the Buddha Dharma, hence everyone's here, and comes and hears teachings every week, goes home and reads the text, and thinks about the meaning, or meditates on the meaning. And this is all due to having faith in the teachings. And the stronger this faith grows, the more one will more effort one will want to put into one's studying of the Dharma and reflection on the meaning of the Dharma. There are many people who don't have faith in the Dharma, and that can easily be seen in that they're not here. They don't pick up books on the Buddha Dharma, they don't think about the meaning of the Buddha Dharma, and that's because they have no interest, and they have no interest because they have no faith. So here we can see this how one leads to the other. If one has no faith, one will just rather hang out with one's friends and have a good time. If one does have faith, then one will have an interest to hear more, and one will, as that interest develops, one's faith develops, and then one wants to hear more, and one wants to start to reflect on what one has heard. And as then there's progression in one's reflection, one's faith then grows, and as one's faith grows, the interest grows, and then one studies more and wants to hear more teachings, etc. So there is this progression from as one's faith develops, and this faith, especially when it turns into becoming more a more stable faith and eventually an irreversible faith, that one's wish to strive to attain goals such as liberation and enlightenment will arise, and then one will overcome all the difficulties that there are in terms of making the time to receive teachings and to think about the teachings and whatever other obstacles come along one's way. And then as one progresses in this way for some time, one sees a change in one's way of thinking. One sees a development in the way one thinks and the way one deals with difficulties in one's life and the way one relates to events in one's life. And then this too feeds back into the development of our faith, the growth of our interest, and then the effort that we put into our study and our meditation.
To this point in our Lama teachings, you've repeatedly or often heard about the importance on doing meditation every day and having as part of that meditation a reflection on refuge. And now today we've started with the actual presentation on refuge. And here, so what we can take away from this in terms of our own daily practice, in terms of what we've heard thus far, is that in the morning we reflect on how the three jewels are always present with us. Wherever we go, whatever we do, the three jewels are present with us. And the meaning of that is that whatever we do, we should be in accordance with the three jewels. In other words, in accordance with the Dharma. So whatever we're engaging in, we should remember the advice we've received from our teachers. We should remember the teachings that we've received. And then that in its briefest form is whatever we are doing, whomever we are with, we should ensure that we don't cause any harm or discomfort for others, and rather that everything we say and we do and our mental thoughts, these are only virtuous. These are only motivated to be of benefit to others. And this is because we have the three jewels present with us, there to inspire us, to guide us. And so with that knowledge, we should act in accordance with the three jewels. In other words, in accordance with the teachings. And with that inspiration, we should remind ourselves of that, then not just in the morning, but throughout the day. Take a few moments whenever we can. Just if it's while driving the car or when we're not too busy or drinking a cup of tea, and just remind ourselves of our reflection that morning, remind ourselves of the advice of the teachers that we have the three jewels with us and to always act to fulfill the advice of our teachers, in other words, to work for the welfare of others with our acts of body, speech and mind. So if we think like this, then we can take the meaning of refuge into everything that we do and ensure that everything we do is of benefit to others and that we refrain from any kind of harmful behavior. So that is the meaning that we can take away from what we've heard tonight and how we can apply it in our daily life. Next week we'll continue from the middle of page 176, starting here with the types of refuge for each of the three capacities of being. So the beings of small capacity, middling capacity, and greatest capacity, they have their own specific type of refuge, and we'll start from there next week. Katushina, 됐어요?
어, 됐지.
So if there's some questions, then please do ask. And thank you, and see everyone next week.
Yeah.